4:43 on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle. It is brought to you, as always, by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan joining us here in studio. Hello, sir. Let's turn that mic on.
I want to be heard. I want to be heard so bad. Happy Slush Day, everybody.
Isn't it just...
Aren't you enjoying it? I've been thoroughly not enjoying it.
Yeah, I would take snow.
There's nothing good about it. There's nothing good about seeing your son wake up like, it's okay, son, you can go back to bed. It's a snow day? Sorta.
Yeah, can we go out and make
snow? Daddy's going to go out to his dental appointment because that's not canceled, but you're going to stay here and drive your mother nuts. That's like snow day, right?
That has been happening in our house today.
Oh, every house.
Yeah, nowhere to go, nowhere to hide.
It was fun. We traded children with our neighbors, so we took both girls and they took both boys. And I don't know who actually, we both lucked out. They actually both played normally. So
nice.
It was blissful.
It's a good plan. I like that.
Who knows? It's crazy. So we're because it was sort of a snow day and I didn't want to burden my my manager with coming in from way out where she lives, we closed the shop today.
Oh, you did?
As was popular amongst many downtown spots. So I sort of switched up and switched what I was going to be doing between next week and this week. And the reason I did that is because next week, since we're talking about exploring wine and how best to start exploring the world of wine this January, I was going to be talking about, and I will talk instead today, about some of my favorite books because I actually found myself with a little time, quiet time to sit down and read today. And I said to myself, well, I was going to talk about for the winter months anyway next week, so we'll talk about it today, and then next week we'll do the Savage Oaks things. And sadly, the wine that I brought in to try today, we're going to have a quick lesson in trichloroanisole.
I know
corkage.
What that means.
We all remember that from last year. Well, we'll briefly touch that before we depart today, but unfortunately the really nice red wine that I brought in for our slush day is corked, and it smells like the bottom of a boat and a bilge and something like that. It's sad. And so books.
Woo,
books,
Jim Locker.
Books are good, despite what our current administration may believe. books help me a lot. So for those of you who don't really know my background, I really knew nothing about wine, and I knew nothing particularly about food. With all respect to my parents, I was brought up in a fairly, typical American household, not a lot of spices or crazy ethnic food. Beef stroganoff was like the most exciting thing I had and that sort of thing. And of course, I've talked on air about my adventures in cooking the first time where I marinated salmon and red cooking wine and things. So you understand that I really didn't know anything. And I had to have some sort of a really steep learning curve to kind of get where I am today. And especially what happened when I started to work for the Whole Foods Market chain and then later for the Crazy Burgundian Laurent that I worked for 3 years and started writing his newsletters, I had to really kind of crunch. So the first book that I want to talk about and I recommend, and I, of course, we all love or hate the title, but it's the Wine for Dummies book. That's the very first book I ever got. It's currently on its 4E edition.
Wow.
But Ed McCarthy, Mary Ewing Mulligan are the authors of it and have been for well over a decade now. But as ridiculous as it sounds, it's actually very, very good. It's in-depth on wine regions. It gives you a buying guide, which I don't necessarily subscribe to, but at least it gives you kind of an idea of what's out there on the market and readily available. And I really like that. So for any of you looking for your favorite, budding enophiles and things like that, or maybe your kid's gone off to college and developed a taste for the finer stuff, which is, I guess, essentially where I develop a taste for wine and cooking with friends and family. That might be a cool book to think about for their upcoming birthdays or anything like that, or Father's Day, which is coming up in June, which I know seems like a long way away, but as we've been planning the next 6 months at the store, I realize how quickly this is all going to descend upon us. So that's really cool. The next one I wanted to talk about is sort of the inspiration that I always find myself going back to. So there was a wine merchant named Kermit Lynch, still is a wine merchant named Kermit Lynch, who also happens to be an amateur blues guitarist, so doubly cool. But he's out in the Bay Area in the 70s, and he started essentially what is very, very commonplace today, which is importing in temperature-controlled containers from small producers wines, specifically from France in his case. And his story of how he came upon that is detailed in his book, Adventures on the Wine Route. It's absolutely full of wonderful anecdotes, retail hints, And descriptions of wine and wine countries that will leave you really thirsty for a good bottle, even of backcountry wine. It's just, it's wonderful. His descriptions are fantastic. And he's very, very well known for his newsletters, which is also collected in a book called Inspiring Thirst, which I also recommend if you kind of geek out on his writing. The third book I wanted to talk about is something for history buffs and wine lovers alike, and one of the reasons I love wine and alcohol, I guess, in general so much is because of its deep ties to history. It's inescapable. Wine and War is the one I wanted to mention. It's by Don and P.T. Cladstrup. The subtitle for it is The French, the Nazis, and the Battle for France's Greatest Treasure. It's a book you can rip through in a day, you know, if you're that type of reader. And sometimes I am a voracious reader in that way. And it tells the story of four or five different French wine families or individuals and their close ties with Germans and what happened when all of a sudden these two deep economic partners, trading partners, friends were all of a sudden pitted against each other politically, economically, and indeed militarily. Crazy good book, wonderful, and good comeuppance at the end, and yet good lessons for us all as well, that as soon as the hostilities were over, they all went right back to working with each other, being friends. Mm-hmm. It's a very good and perhaps pleasing lesson for us all today and in the days to come. The last one I wanted to mention, The World Atlas of Wine. So this is for those of us, again, I also love maps. And The World Atlas of Wines by two masters of wine, Jancis Robinson and Hugh Johnson, both Brits, both very, very, very well known in the writing world. But The World Atlas of Wine, wonderfully detailed maps of the various villages, hills, undulations, things like this, and where the particular vineyards are that perhaps you love and have visited. Check it out. If you're drinking a bottle of wine that you've never tried before, you can look it up. You can find out exactly where it's from, read all about it. It's absolutely fantastic, wonderfully detailed, and a steal. I mean, it's about $60, but it's $60 that's well worth spending every time. And every edition, I think they're on their seventh now, has more stuff to make it worth by that. It's really fantastic. So four books, just to recap, Wine for Dummies, Adventures on the Wine Route by Kermit Lynch, Wine and War by Don and P.D. Cladstrup, and The World Atlas of Wine, Hugh Johnson, Jancis Robinson. Check all those out over the winter months, and you'll be glad you did. And I did want to mention we have upcoming in February at Bangor Wine and Cheese, two exciting events at least now and probably more to come, because it's just turning out that way. We do have our regular monthly tasting on Thursday the 16th, and then we also have What Women Want Take 3. Mm. So this will be the third installment in our What Women Want. I believe we have Lou LaRoe signed up for that, as well as some other wonderful ladies shopping and enjoyment experiences. But of course, men are always welcome, because we're going to be pouring and having a good time. Anyway, that's going to be Wednesday the 22nd of February, so put that on your calendars. Everybody drive safe tonight and all that. I wish we were drinking a bottle of wine.
Yeah, tell us again about corking.
Yeah, this is so sad. So I brought in a really wonderful Brunello. If anybody remembers, we talked about the Tuscany region of Italy. That is where the city of Montalcino sits, and their very lofty, wonderful red wine is a Brunello. So I brought in one, and I popped the cork and immediately smelled my old favorite smell. Everybody has a different description of it. Some people think it's like a bilge. Some people have smelled it on like rotting potatoes.
I thought it smelled like a gym locker.
Gym locker, yeah. I've often always said like libraries after a flood when they start to dry out and you get that like mildewy, wet books. It's that. And it's not. It's found in about, depending on who you believe, about 5 to 10% of all cork, real cork. And it's perfectly naturally occurring, and there's actually efforts right now to eliminate it. There's some really interesting stuff that I just read about where they're going to be scientific, like sticking them essentially in centrifuges and figuring out how to remove any of the trichloroanisole. But it has this compound, trichloroanisole, TCA, and it really ruins your day when you bring a nice bottle of wine and it does that. Does it always get into the wine? No, it doesn't always get into the wine, but that is why, for instance, when they pop a wine for you at a restaurant and put the cork in front of you, it's not so that you can smell cork. It's so that you can smell what else might be in that cork and what might have screwed up that wine. Because if you're going to pay, you know, restaurant prices, which are two to three times what you're going to pay in a retail store for the same bottle, you want that bottle of wine to be good. So do keep your nose out for that, as well as your eyes, I suppose. Yeah, unfortunately, we smelled the wine, and it smells bad, too. So yeah. What are you going to do? But for that reason, and if this ever happens to you, folks, by the way, do not drink the wine. Do not pour it away. Put the cork back in the bottle. Bring the rest of the wine back to your friendly neighborhood wine merchant. We have ways of, you know, getting our compensation as well. So don't feel bad for us, and we would feel bad for you if you didn't get a proper bottle. So do bring them in. We're always happy to either do an exchange or a comparable bottle or whatnot.
Well, there you go.
There you go. We're good, honest folk.
No question about that. It's Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday.